Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Teresa, question. Let's assume organization has a product strategy. How to iterate on it, when to iterate on it, based on discovery findings?
Can we first start with picking apart this assumption that the organization has a strategy?
Start in the beginning. I love that. Go ahead.
Okay, so in my experience working with teams, usually the strategy is implicit. There's nothing explicit. And there's also a lot of misunderstanding of what a strategy is. So there's company strategy, there's product strategy.
It often portfolio depends. Strategy.
Portfolio strategy.
Marketing strategy.
It often gets confused with vision, roadmaps. So I really like Roger Martin's definition of strategy, mm-hmm. which it's our plan for how we're going to win. Right? So what I like about that, it's simple. We all know what a plan is. We all know what it means to win. And so if we think about it from a product standpoint, our strategy is a plan for how we're going to win in the market against our competitors.
Like with this particular product.
For this particular product, because we're going to talk about product strategy. What's our yes. plan for how to win in the market with this product? Okay, so I want to first say I think most companies don't explicitly define their strategy, because usually when you do that, you have to say no to things. You have to say what you are going to do and what you're not going to do.
And that's an important part already.
Yeah. And I think people don't like to close doors. They don't like to make decisions that we're not going to do this. And it's, or even if they do, like even if they explicitly do, they say our strategy is X, we're no longer going to do Y. As soon as a customer, a prospect comes in that represents
a big enough number is coming up.
And they yeah. ask for why, suddenly that explicit strategy is out the door. Yeah. So the first thing I want to just say is I think this assumption, assuming an organization has a strategy, is rarely true. Like it, because for it to be true, two things have to happen. They have to have an explicit strategy, which is often missing, and they have to live by that explicit strategy, which is even rarer. So yeah. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if I agree with that. Because I oftentimes, especially in smaller organizations, startups and scale-ups, I see the implicit strategy being a thing. And you can basically observe it by the decisions the team are making on behalf of the organization. And you see that all of it is pointing towards one focal point. So if I see that, so the team's decisions are kind of working towards the better future that obviously everybody is seeing, then I know there is an implicit product strategy. Oftentimes you're right, it's not shared, it's not aligned. Everybody has their own little strategy living inside of them. So that really is a big challenge.
Okay, I think there's always an implicit strategy. It's not always.
But a personal implicit strategy.
Yeah, but it's not always, but it's often we're going to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think this is really challenging.
As long as they pay us some money.
Yeah. So I want to start. The reason why I wanted to start with this is I don't want to record an episode that feels like it doesn't apply to anybody, because they're listening to it and saying, yeah, but I don't have a product strategy. So I think like if your organization has an implicit product strategy of we're trying to be everything to everybody, that still qualifies as a product strategy. So now we can get back to the original question of how do we iterate on our product strategy based on what we're learning in discovery? And now I think this conversation should be relevant to everybody.
Yeah, I love how you kind of did the groundwork.
All right. Okay. So let's just walk through a hypothetical. Let's try to make this really tangible. Let's say we work at a company. For the sake of simplicity, we have 5 product teams. They're each working on the same product. They have different outcomes. They're all doing good discovery. I already realize we're in a hypothetical land, but just humor me here. So they're all learning different things. We can make it a complex strategy, like a marketplace where some teams have one customer and other teams have a different customer. They're all learning different things and they're all doing different things to try to reach their outcome. What point are they communicating up what they're learning so that as an organization, the product strategy is evolving? And I think this is one of the hardest pieces that teams struggle with, companies struggle with, product leaders struggle with. I think oftentimes it's the product leader, it's all in their head. They're watching what's happening across the organization. Maybe they're implicitly revising the strategy. Maybe they're communicating that back. Maybe they're doing the work to align that with the executive team. I mean, you do a lot of product leadership coaching. Does this come up in your work?
Yeah, this comes up a lot. My advice usually is if I coach product leaders is write something down. Because as soon as you start to write something down, it could be the shittiest version you ever seen of a product strategy, your teams, your product people will start to disagree and therefore share their learning and their observations. And there is no better way to do it that way, because some product leaders want to run workshops and strategy gathering input sessions and all these kind of things. And I'm a big fan, people that know me, I'm a big fan of designing by committee to some extent, and with insights and all these kind of things. We want to hear all the voices to have a solid basis for then design our experiments on, right? So we still want to do that. But for strategy work, I do the exact opposite. So somebody, a brave human being in the organization, has to put something on paper. They put the headline product strategy on top of it. And even if it sucks, people will start to some say like this part resonates and I really kind of second your point that we should tackle that or we should go to this new market or this is a problem that we're having. And teams are usually coming up and say like, this is so not what we observing in all of our user tests. And that's, by the way, all the AI research tools are amazingly helpful with exactly that, right? So you have old user research and then you have a new shitty product strategy, but you could feed it in and say like, hey, are there some aspects of this already in our research? And this is what some of the product teams are already doing. And it just like helps you to quicker have a more valuable conversation around that topic.
Yeah, you know, what your response made me think about is a few months ago, Lenny did a podcast interview with this guy named Chandra. I'm not going to remember his last name, but we'll put it in the show notes. And he shared this framework he has for developing a strategy. It was very concrete and very like, do this in week one, do these weeks in 2 to 5.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, like there were things I liked about it. There were things I didn't like about it. One of the things he talked about was the product person who's doing the strategy should interview stakeholders about what the stakeholders think the strategy should be. And what I actually think would be better is for product leaders to interview their product teams about what they're learning and discovery and how it should impact the discovery.
I 100% agree.
And maybe that's like, maybe the product leader should be doing this almost like customer interviews. Go learn from your teams about what they're learning from. Because I think what's so often missing, like companies are good at top-down strategy. We're not very good at this bottoms-up emergent strategy. And I think the real value, especially if you have empowered product teams that are engaging with customers all the time, is how do you pull all that knowledge up to inform your strategy?
Yeah. And the only thing that then the product leader needs to make sure they have other voices than only the product teams. Yeah. I'm not saying that the stakeholder interviews is my go-to strategy, by the way. I like the stakeholder interviews for something that Megan Murphy called priming the wall. So you want to understand which nuggets of wisdom, types of information you need to share with the entire organization, including your stakeholders, to make sure they then see the same bright future than you and your product team is actually seeing. So it's more about the go-to-market of your strategy that you want, that you need the stakeholder interviews for. But what I find super helpful is, and I know it sounds basic, but the product leaders should surround themselves with studies on macro trends, for example. And some of them are obvious. Everybody talks about AI, but some of them are less obvious. And you can buy these reports out there. So that really helps you to kind of think long term. So whatever, because your product teams, they do the daily research, ideally, maybe the weekly or the monthly or the quarterly. But still, they're more talking to users than anybody else in the organization, but they see their daily struggles. But we cannot only solve or create a strategy based on the daily struggles all these users are having around the organization, right? So we need a bigger, how is the world going to change? How is technology going to change? And that is another piece of discovery that the product leader creating the product strategy needs to make sure that they have the time for.
Yeah, so I want to get even more specific with this just to make it really tangible for people. So if we define product strategy as like, here's how we're going to win. This is our plan for how we're going to win. And there's a lot of models for this, right? Like there's the seven powers. We could talk about which powers we're going to use to win. There's blue ocean strategy. There's Porter's Five Forces. Like there's a million
so
models.
So many of them. Yeah.
Right? Or like Richard Rummel's good strategy, bad strategy.
Yeah, bad
like,
strategy and people do SWOT analysis and all these kind of things. Yeah.
Pick your favorite model. Who cares?
It's
what's your plan for how you're going to win, right? Okay. So you've got your plan. And let's look at a couple public examples. Intercom recently has made it very clear their plan for how they're going to win at customer support is through their AI agent, Finn. So they're making a huge bet on customer success is going to get completely revolutionized
automated
by AI. Okay, great. That's their strategy for how they're going to win. Now imagine you work at a product team in Intercom and you're working on a part of the product and you start to uncover there's a really big gap in what AI can currently do and what your customers need. You better be communicating that gap to your leaders. And it doesn't mean the strategy is wrong. It means the strategy needs to evolve to account for what you're learning.
Yeah, the feasibility risk needs to be assessed, so to say.
Yeah, and we can look at another example. Like Spotify recently decided to make a big bet on podcasts, and they wanted to win by growing their audio footprint beyond music to also podcasts and audiobooks. Mostly because it gives them cheaper content where they have to share less royalties.
More of it.
Right? But they're also spending big money to acquire exclusive podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Now let's say you work on a product team and you're regularly hearing from customers, like, I don't like the Spotify podcast player. Like, great, I want to listen to this guy who's only on Spotify, but like, this is really annoying to me. I don't want to have two different podcast players. Okay, well, we better start investing in our podcast player and letting people listen to podcasts that are outside of Spotify in our podcast player, because content is probably only going to, content is trendy, right? And so we're either going to have to chase the trendiest content forever,
which
doesn't really get us away from our licensing
scale
problem, right? Or we have to solve this problem in a different way. And I think this is happening at like big strategic level of like, should we do podcasts or not? But it's also happening at these really micro moments all across the organization. And so there has to be a way to bubble that up and surface that. And I think what ends up happening in a lot of organizations is product teams bring it up in one-off situations. And it's really easy to object, to like handle a one-off objection. Whereas what we need is we need all the teams pooling what they're hearing so we can look at it collectively, kind of like we look at opportunities collectively on an opportunity solution tree and say, okay, based on all this feedback, how should we be evolving our explicit product strategy? And I could see that like maybe happening quarterly. Like you don't need to evolve this
definitely
every month.
Every half a year maybe does it as well. So yeah, that's usually my recommendation. What was I about to say? I had one good thought in my head. Let me go find it again. Because one thing that I really like when leaders start doing this, it helps them make their strategy more ruggedized, really. Because the product people will poke holes in it and they will find it, because product people are actually quite clever human beings. So they will find the logistic error, the logical errors that you made while making things up. You need to rehearse your narrative a bit before you actually talk your product people through it. So it is actually not only for the leadership person to gather more insights for the strategy, it also helps them to make it a more ruggedized, more fleshed out version of their strategy. And oftentimes, amazing stories that then really resonate with the rest of the organization come from these conversations with the product teams, because they have the stories, the user stories that make the narrative way stronger and make sure the message sticks around.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I'm going to add is that if we're talking about strategy as a plan for how we're going to win, it's not a roadmap. I want to be really clear. It's not a roadmap. It's not here's the things we're going to build. But it's analogous to a roadmap in the sense that you don't create it once and it's always correct. The world is always changing, right? The world is always changing. The market is changing. New technology is becoming just now possible. I mean, man, right now we're seeing that with generative AI. Like, so much is becoming just now possible. So we can write our plan down, and we should. But if we're not revising it and updating it on a regular cadence, whether it's once a quarter or twice a year, or even just in your annual planning sessions, like, that's fine. But it should be a living document that's always evolving. And one of the ways that it evolves is you need to get input from your product teams and what they're learning in discovery.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, one thing, it's another thing that I often talk with my coaches about is this, quarterly goals versus strategy. And oftentimes leaders love to design it in a way that there are like OKRs or main product KPIs, and they are to some extent able to tie back to your strategy. But what I like as an additional layer is this kind of, how do we measure if we execute the strategy? So what are the signals that we could track and see to really have this check and balances in place where we can say, like, yeah, we're really executing the strategy. We're not only doing stuff. And by the way, making more revenue is not a strategy. So that's not how we usually do it. But it's a difference between your business KPIs oftentimes, your product KPIs, and the question of, can we see this strategy come to life? And sometimes this metaphor or this way of thinking takes you nowhere in some organizations and some business models, but oftentimes it does. And then oftentimes the teams come up with one or two things that they additionally want to keep an eye on. So oftentimes it's just like signals that you can actually observe anecdotally. Or it sometimes even is a hard KPI that they want to add to their scorecard, however you call it, objectives, goals, to make sure that everybody's focused on executing towards the strategy, which is oftentimes not only business success that you can measure.
Yeah, I love this, because we can have a plan. How do we know that we're meeting the plan? Like, such an important concept. I want to go all the way back to how we opened with, what if I work in an organization where my product strategy is be everything to everybody? Okay, so now we have a quarterly, twice a year, once a year meeting where we're evolving our strategy. My product teams that are doing discovery need to be coming to that meeting with, here's how we get pulled in a million different directions. Based on those million different things that we did, we think these things were more successful. And by the way, they all targeted this segment. We're starting to give input on maybe this should be our customer segment, right? So we all work in crazy organizations where we try to do too much. That is a fact. That's just reality. You can take all those particulars and help your leaders make sense of them by saying, we did the 45 different things you told us to do. These 10 were the most successful. Maybe, by the way, they all have
them.
Yeah, they all have the same customer segment. Maybe we should make a strategic decision to focus on this customer. Or they all had X in common, or they all had Y in common.
Well, let's try it in another country now that we won one country in a specific user group. Yeah, exactly.
Product teams can influence a lot more than they think because they're bringing new information to the table.
Yeah. Aggregate wisely. That's a recommendation. So come prepared to these meetings, I'd say, because otherwise they just like gone forever. But if product teams come prepared and really are able to surface what was successful, what they currently try to do, what target groups they're serving, I think then that will be super helpful. for every product leader out there.
For sure. And then I think for organizations that do have an explicit strategy, it's a good strategy. You have a clear ideal customer profile. You have a clear plan for how you're going to go after that. Then I think what product teams are bringing in these strategy review meetings is just how successful are they being on executing the plan. And that's where I think a lot of your outcomes that you're talking about, or how are we measuring how we're doing against the plan, are really helpful.
And the anecdotes, don't forget the stories.
For sure.
Your product leader needs a good story.
Everybody needs a good story.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, what do we have left?
That was neat.
Did we exhaust this one?
I think we did.
All right. It's always fun to iterate on product strategy.
It is.
Thanks, Petra.
Thanks, Teresa.